mesmo.
So the meeting was called to order. Now it is 5:06 p.m. And with that, we will ask the staff member Angela to read her parts that she needs to read.
Yes. Welcome to our virtual meeting. We are going to cover a few basic items before beginning. If you lose connection at any point during the meeting, you can reconnect by clicking the link or calling the number in your original email. To members and city staff, if you lose connection at any point during the meeting, you can reconnect by clicking the link or calling the number in your original email. To members and city staff, if you are able, please activate your video for purposes of quorum and keep it on for the duration of the meeting. Staff, if you're able, please activate your video when you are speaking. The chair and committee staff are responsible for muting and unmuting committee members. Members can rename themselves if they wish to add pronouns after your name. Use the raised hand feature when you like to be recognized to speak, ask questions, or request a roll call vote. During any roll call, all participants will be unmuted briefly. Staff, click raise hand when you are asked a question. The chair will do their best to call on committee members in the order in which hands are raised. Lowering hand, your hand will take you out of the queue. Members of the public who have registered to speak, the name you entered into Zoom must match the name you entered in registration. You will remain muted until called upon. Staff will let you know when your time is up. After speaking, a member of the body may ask you a question. If you need to share documentation with the board, please send it to the email listed on today's agenda. Please do not use your video. If you turn on your video, it would be shut off. Chair, the floor is yours.
And Angela, can you assist with roll call, please?
Yes. Binford.
Present.
Okay, I see you. Esparza. Ketchum, Kleba,
Present.
Madden,
Present. Here.
Martinez Rutherford, Rainey Moore,
Present.
Raimi, Raimi is present. Wallace. Wahili. Tan Williams.
Present.
Wright.
Present.
Bangalore. A quorum has been met and a quorum is present, Chair.
All right. Can I have do we have public comments? Let me read my piece first and then I will go to public comments. My apologies.
Sure.
In a virtual meeting like this, it is particularly important that we carefully follow Robert's rules of order. Therefore, Please do not speak until you have raised your hand and have been recognized by the chair. The chair will ask for a motion and second for each agenda item unless it is noticed for discussion only. Any member wishing to join the debate or move an amendment will also have to raise their hand and be recognized by the chair. Similarly, if you have some other matter to bring to the attention of the chair, such as a point of order or a request for information, please use the raise your hand function. And I don't believe I received notice about any public comments. Angela, have you received or any?
There are no public comments registered for this evening.
Okay, thank you. So then the next item on our agenda would be the approval of the minutes. Can I have a motion to approve the minutes from the last meeting date?
September 12th.
September 12th meeting. Looks like Bob, I'll go with Bob, and then I will then ask for a second.
Yeah, I so move.
Can I have a second? Looks like
second.
Cottrell, is that the right pronunciation?
It's Cottrell.
Cottrell. Cottrell is second. Any discussion? I'm not seeing any hands raised for discussion. So all in favor of the approval of the September 12th, 2024 minutes, can you either raise your hand or can you say aye if you're unable to raise your hand?
Aye.
Looks like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I think we have five present, five of hands raised. So that would be the majority. So the minutes are approved. Anyone that want to go on record as being not in favor or abstaining, you can raise your hand for that as well at this point. Cottrell, are you abstaining or are you still for approval? Is that what your hand is raised for?
Oh, I apologize. I thought I'd.
No worries. All right. So with that, the minutes are approved with no abstentions and no not in favor. So the next item on our agenda would be, are there any, actually, I forgot to ask for any, are there any disclosures or recusals at this point? I'm not seeing any hands, so we will move on to the next item on our agenda. And the next item on our agenda, if you're not a member of the EOC, we will be going into closed session for about 10 minutes. If you are on here, we ask that you go into closed session. We will remove anyone who is not a member of EOC and place you in a waiting or in the waiting room. Once we're done, we will bring you back out into this space. But for now, we're asking anyone, if you are not a member of EOC, we will be removing you before we do the closed session. And then we will bring you back in about 10 minutes. Byron, I see your hand.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that I see Mike's here, that staff are able to participate in the closed session. It's myself, Ford, Rebecca, and obviously Angela. It's the only ones that are here. Is that allowed? Is that okay?
Yeah, the body can certainly include anybody it wishes to in the closed session that is involved in the matter or the agency. Also, Madam Chair, we do need a motion to go into closed session.
All right, gotcha. Bob, you have a question or a statement?
I move that we go in into closed session with the staff that we just discussed, Angela, Byron, and Ford.
And Rebecca.
And Becky.
Oh, and Rebecca.
Rebecca.
Thank you. Yeah, so those four staff members.
And Brian, you have, are you seconding the motion? All right. So we have a motion by Bob that we go into closed session, and then it was seconded by Brian. And then Zach, I saw your hand raised. Did you have a question?
No, I was just
seconding. All right. So with that, we will go into closed session.
All right. Wait, I am pausing.
Sorry, I need to vote. I'm sorry, we need to vote. Okay. So all in favor of going into the closed session, can you just raise your hand? If you're unable to raise your hand, then if you just give us a yes, that would be great.
Sure, I had a point of order.
Okay.
I think that the motion needs to include the language that's written in the agenda, and City Attorney Haas could verify that. So if so, it's a friendly amendment.
Let me restate the motion, and we'll see if that's seconded. If that's okay with the commission.
Go ahead.
I move that we close. Oh, wait a minute. So I'm looking at the agenda. I move that we close the session to confer with legal counsel for the government body who is rendering oral or written advice concerning strategy to be adopted by the body with respect to litigation in which it is or likely to become involved, and to include in this conference with legal counsel the four staff members, Angela, Byron, Ford, and Rebecca.
So it has been a motion by Bob to include the language that's in the agenda. And can I have a second? I saw Melanie, your hand raised.
Second. Also, I think you have to read the statute citations.
Oy, you're making this difficult.
Yeah.
So an amendment to the motion includes that we respect the proposed ordinance amendment pursuant to Wisconsin statute 19.85 parent one parent G.
Second it. Dina, are you seconding?
Yes, please.
So it's been motioned by Bob and seconded by Dina. Any discussion at this point? Bob, is your hand raised for discussion?
It is not.
Okay, thanks. And then seeing no hands for discussion, all in favor of going into the closed session, raise your hand. If you can't raise your hand, if you can just say yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, looks like the motion has been approved. Anyone want to go on records as abstaining or no? Now would be the time to raise your hand. Dina, can we have you lower your hand from the last? I believe you accepted, right? So if there's anyone so it looks like the motion has been approved. So we will go into closed session now. And it looks like, from what I can tell, looks like everybody who's in this meeting should be in this meeting. If I'm wrong, can the staff help me out? But from what I'm looking at, it looks like everybody here should be here.
Yes.
All right, so we are now in closed session.
All right, I will pause the recording.
Thank you.
All right. So following up on the next agenda item, we will be talking about any follow-up folks need to make regarding the retreat that we had about a month ago. Any feedback folks want to share on that? Kat?
Thanks, Chair. This isn't feedback on the retreat itself per se, but I understand that I had to depart a little early and wasn't able to share something that I was meaning to at that meeting. So I will do that here. I've mentioned it, I believe, to you, Brenda, and also to Byron, but specifically, I back in September had been working with one of the local fire departments as part of my day job, and had the pleasure of working with some paramedics and really got a great sense of how they see the communities that they serve and their motivation and energy for.
Does that, wait, can I just interrupt you for 1 second?
Please.
And my interruption is, does that pertain to the actual retreat, or is that something that's added at the end of the meeting and the discussion or announcement? Because this right here is the focus is the retreat. And so is that pertaining to the actual retreat?
No, it isn't. I'm happy to save.
So can we table that? Can you hold that? So any feedback or discussion regarding the actual retreat?
Well, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really well done. I think in for future, I would advise that we do more pair group, where we have like folks that have been on the commission for a long time pair up with the people who haven't been on the commission for a very long time, so that we could get to know each other a little bit better. We had tons of stuff to go through though. So I get it, you know, there's just not enough time for everything, but I was just thinking for the future, I think it would be love to like actually be able to talk and do like pair up, where we would have like a pair up between like two people in dyads or something like that. That's all, thanks.
Anybody else? I'm not seeing any other hands. So what I will say is, as part of that retreat, which is why we do it every time, is that we want to come out with a work plan. We do have a work plan that we started at the retreat, but we didn't get to everything. And I just wanted to just have, and what you see on the screen now is a part of that work plan. This work plan gives us an opportunity to be focused for the next year and where we are trying to go as a commission, and the things that we agree that we will work on as a priority for the next year. And what I'm asking, I guess, is there anything that folks wanted to add to the work plan that you didn't add at the retreat, but you since the retreat thought about it and would like to share that information so that it is included in this work plan? Kat?
Would this be an appropriate place to share my thoughts from earlier?
Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. So all of which to say, I think that that our city fire departments get a lot of face time with various parts of our community. And I had a paramedic specifically on becoming aware of my involvement with the EOC, asked how we think the fire department, both firefighters and paramedics alike, could better serve the goals of ensuring equal opportunity for all of our citizens. There isn't a specific ask that I'm putting forward, just that question to consider. It's okay if we don't prioritize this, but I wanted to put that forward to the commission in case that's something that we feel that we have the bandwidth to explore this year. Thanks.
Okay, Brian. Brian, are you frozen or?
There we go. Thanks, Chair. I was. And I'm sorry, Kat, you cut out for me. Maybe other people heard you at the end. But one of the things as I looked at it, and I think we've had this conversation at EOC Executive Committee probably more times than I can think of, but you know, I still see truth and reconciliations up there. And if at the retreat you all, and I regret that I couldn't be there, I had a sick child that night, but if you all thought that this was something that we wanted to continue, I'm certainly in support of it, but I'm somewhat surprised as we've asked for this to be taken off the agenda numerous times. Thanks.
Anybody else? Any thoughts about anything that maybe has been missing from the work plan that we thought maybe should be added on this work plan? Now would be the time, and I see your hand, Byron.
So, as I was listening to Kat, I was thinking about how we do our listening sessions and was wondering if we were seeing an opportunity having folks that provide other services to the community be connected to those conversations. You know, there have been times that I've heard some concerns raised or just unknowing some fear of, you know, calling people for supported services and having some angst about that a little bit just because they don't know what the kind of service they're going to get or how they're going to be received. Sometimes there's language barriers and things mm-hmm. like that. So I'm thinking that I don't have the answer, but it did cause me to now think about how we should incorporate some other folks that provide other resources in the city and get them a part of the conversation in those listening sessions because they could learn from us and we could learn from them. So it was just a thought.
Thanks. Araceli?
Byron, I was going to say the same thing, because then we would have better audience, more participation. And that is part of like the EOC's charge is making sure that city services are provided, you know, without discrimination. And I thought that was really good. I was going to say for my point on that document, I muted myself, sorry. On that document, and for whatever reason, I can't see it. I had said that the listening questions, yes, for the trailer park, but also having one or two focused on racial discrimination in the workplace. So if that could be amended, having a listening session at a mobile park, and having two dedicated for workplace discrimination, and or could be even for services, you know. We could do one on workplace discrimination and then one on as a service provider. And I think that would address a little bit of like what you're saying about the fire and paramedics uniting and dispelling, right? Some myths and truths, like the myth of if you call an ambulance, will your information get shared with like, say, ICE or something? You know, that's like a myth, right? And so those type of things, we could do like a myth buster on that, on dispelling true myths of contacting city or county services well, city services. We got to focus on city. I know that. And then the other one, like workplace discrimination. So I would like to see that amended. So it wasn't just mobile home parks, yes, and workplace discrimination.
And for me, as I'm thinking about it, I think that there might be, as Kat mentioned earlier, opportunities to look at some of the other ordinances that we have that may be not in alignment with the state and figure out, I'm not saying we have to do everything in alignment with the state, but are there other opportunities to look at some of the other ordinances that we have created out of our thing, just to make sure that we're not out of alignment, but are there opportunities to even add on to what the state have? So that would be a great opportunity. The other thing that I wanted to ensure that we included in, on this work plan, because one of the areas that we also had was things that we felt that we had done, in addition to some things that we wanted to work on. One of the things that I wanted us to ensure that we have included in this work plan that we have done is actually the body cams pilot that's currently in pilot mode now. I don't know how much longer they'll still be piloting it, but I wanted us to be sure that we included it positively. And the reason I'm saying that is because I know that in some cases it has been very helpful that those body cams were available, despite how some of us were initially feeling some angst about those body cams and what that would mean to certain communities. But I know in certain situations that having those body cams have been helpful. So I just want, and we did vote on putting those body cams out there as a trial period. So I wanted us to ensure that we also take some credit under that as well as an EOC. So Kat, I see you.
Thanks, Chair. I really appreciate everyone's comments so far. And I think I should then move to add inclusion of folks who provide services to our community members and their inclusion in our listening sessions as part of our work plan moving forward.
Yep. Anyone opposed to that? All right. Any other hands regarding the work plan? This is something that we will, as a commission, be working on for the next year. So, Rebecca, do you want to talk about the next steps in this?
I will take whatever comments you all have moved tonight. So, Kat's specifically, and add them to the work plan. I'll send out another draft. You all have an opportunity to review, discuss, and approve at a later meeting.
All right. Thank you. Thanks, everyone. The next item on the agenda, hold on, let me look at my agenda. Sorry. Is update. I put update on the rapid transit. And I don't know if we have a representative here, but I would just wanted to know if folks have heard any feedback regarding that rapid transit so far and what folks are hearing. Kat?
I apologize for being so present at this meeting, but I actually have heard something, and specifically from the same parties that I mentioned earlier. It would appear that the majority opinion, at least in MFD3, amongst the firefighters and paramedics alike, is that there's this prevailing question of who's even using the system, There, a common refrain that I heard was, you know, I see a bus in the morning and there's no one on it, and I see a bus in the evening and no one's on it. So, like, who's even using it? And I don't know if that's an impression that's gleaned only from, like, specific routes, or as a whole, I don't know how representative that opinion is, but at the very least, it seems that there is some sense that, like, people have gotten the impression that it is not needed, that it's an expensive big project, and that it's not really benefiting people who actually live here. And again, I don't know the truth of the matter. I don't know if it's an optics question or if it's a truly like a ridership question, but that is something that I have heard, and they seem to feel very strongly about it.
And I have actually seen folks on it, but I'm not gonna say I've seen full busloads of folks on it, but I have seen folks on it. But I was mainly concerned that it's reaching areas that typically don't get accessibility and are sometimes overlooked in those areas, which is one of the reasons I put it down, but also and the service of folks with disabilities in general, which is one of the things that I wanted us to keep on our radar, because I know transportation was an issue, particularly with some of the sites that some of the other routes were taking with regards to folks with disabilities. So I see Bob and then Araceli.
And then me. I can't raise my hand. It's okay. Angela.
I see you. Bob? Did we lose Bob?
He's there, but on mute.
Muting. I am working it on muting. There we go. So, you know, I live downtown, so I cannot complain about accessibility to mass transit. However, I will say there are a couple things about BRT that we need to keep in mind. Number one, that the routes were defined years ago. The process started 3 years ago, and there was a very intensive equity involvement with how the new routes would be defined, including those for the BRT. And it's been very well advertised how the BRT would be implemented. And it's also been very well promoted as far as who is paying for what. And the city outlay is a fraction of what the overall cost has been so far. So the last thing to say about BRT goes to something that I learned when I was a middle school student in the 1970s, in the last century, mind you. When our high school took our middle school class took a field trip to Toronto, Ontario. And one of the most important things that I saw when I was in Toronto is that one builds transit networks for the future. We do not build them for the present. And there is a lot more to BRT than just getting people on buses. It's actually establishing the physical the physical plant for supporting the transit network that will in the future develop neighborhoods and retail and other commercial development along these routes. And we saw that in Toronto with the subway system and the light rail that they were developing back in the 1960s and the 1970s. So here we are in 2020s, And we are just starting what Toronto started in the 1960s. So, you know, it's not going to happen overnight. It will take years to develop, but we started, and we're moving forward with it. So I hear the criticism, and there's good reason to criticize what we have now, but let's look at it 5 years from now. Thank you.
Araceli?
Well, and I too live on East Washington, and I've been around the corridor a lot. And yeah, it's annoying. And I go with what Bob says, that honestly, it was a federal project. I mean, it literally said this was done by Biden. I mean, at one point it had a big sign. So whoever's saying it was done by the city funding completely, did you all not see the big ass sign on East Washington? You know, it said Biden administration gave you this. So that part to me is like, you know, we're all hee-hawing. And just like Bob said, I would ask those people then, do you not see the dignity that we're giving working poor class people who are actually using the bus? I mean, instead of sitting, standing out there. And that's something that for people like me who have traveled to other major cities and internationally, I mean, the dignity that we don't give our working class poor people here in the United States is astounding, right? And I think it gives dignity. I literally have seen more people just hanging out there, and they look safe instead of just being on the side of the street. Believe me, I was the first person, like, you know, kind of complaining about the BRT. And now that I see it, like, completely how it looks, how it's meant to be looked at, you know, as like finished product, I'm actually really proud. It looks cool. It looks like we're modern, and like we're giving dignity to poor working folks who are not standing namelessly outside in the winter. We're giving them shelter, and like I see them kind of hanging out, and like, I don't know. It makes me feel safe to see our young folks, our kids like my daughter, and like you. And honestly, they tell them that the Gen Zs do not want to drive. Yo, they don't. My kid does not want to drive. She's not obsessed to driving the way I am. And I would say that a lot, and that's been actually you know, statistically shown that Gen Z, they're not a driving people. They rather be driven, and they want to use, you know, global friendly transportation. That's a new trend. So,
Araceli, did you mute again?
As far as I just left the meeting.
Oh, sorry about that. I got booted off and back on. I would just say that they're out of touch. Just wait it out. You know, I mean, everyone's going to complain about traffic for a while. And that's just life now that we have become an urban city and we're in that transition. With that, I pass.
I don't think it's made the traffic any worse. I think the traffic worsening is the construction that's going on, not necessarily the bus. But I also like the fact that the buses seem to be more lit up. Mm-hmm. So you could actually see what's happening versus the way that it used to be as much. So I appreciate that piece as well. Melanie?
Yes, I was going to comment two things. One thing is that I think this is an absolutely necessity of having this new transit system. And as Bob indicated, we're about 45 years behind. One of the things I think that's happening is that most of the complaining is being done by people driving cars. They're all confused about the lanes and so forth and so on. And if most of them would pay more attention, they wouldn't be so confused. And so I think the other serious thing that's happening around town is that there's questions being raised about the referendum that's going to be on the ballot to increase the city, funding for the city. People are saying it's the fault of the mass transit system and that this is the mayor's fault for pushing this system. There is a huge level of ignorance around about the whole referendum and the city's revenue sharing and that kind of thing. But I think that the new transit system coming at the same time that there's this issue that the city doesn't have enough money is giving rise to a lot of criticism of the mayor in particular and the city for not managing the money properly. The third thing I'm going to say is about the paratransit system. We are really very fortunate that we do have a paratransit system for use for with disabilities. It's not perfect, and they are working on making it more perfect. Milwaukee has just made a huge improvement in their paratransit system, whereby you can call on the same day and get transit, whereas our system, you have to call at least the day before and say, you know, when you need it, and then when you're going to need to come back and so forth. So it's very difficult sometimes. But I will say that I think that there is attention being given to it. And all of these things are important if this city is to continue to grow and develop as it needs to.
And when Araceli was talking about the youth not wanting to drive, I know I have several grandkids, none of them wanted to drive. We sort of, we pushed them to get their license, but they definitely were not into it. But we were like, you still got to get your license just in case. But they definitely was not into wanting to drive. They'd rather Uber everywhere or have somebody else drive them, like Araceli said. So I think that has to be taken into consideration too when we think about as we move forward as a city and as a community, and looking down the road, we have to plan for that as well. And so that's mine. Anybody else have any comments?
I do, Angela.
Oh, go ahead, Angela, sorry.
As a city employee, we do not have access to a reasonably priced parking garage. So I actually use the bus 3 days a week, and I do ride one of the BRTs, which is the B bus. What I really like about it is I could get it in Fitchburg, or I can drive over toward by the Urban League, park on the street somewhere and get it, and it runs every 15 minutes. And those buses are crowded during the rush hour times. I also use it on the weekends to get downtown to go to the Overture. It's right there. So it's very, very convenient. It is dark, though, in the evening and nighttime, but they have scrolling to let you know what's the next stop. They have three different doors that open. One is catered for, you know, handicap accessible for wheelchairs and strollers and things. And there's one where you can have your bikes, and the bikes are on there. You can get in three doors at the same time. You don't have to enter one way and walk all the way down. So there are definitely some conveniences. It is not necessarily more rapid. They're just kind of working on getting the schedule where it is, but there are quite a few people even in our office that actually do ride the bus. So ABF, I was a administrator for about an hour and 45 minutes one day. So I think I know something from learning from that training, but it really was good. ABF, they go, you know, all the way to Sun Prairie, some go to Verona. So the depth of it and how far they go, I think, is very convenient. It's very safe. I'm on the bus looking at, like she said, working class citizens being able to do that versus parking for $14, $15 a day.
The other thing that I also think that it helps with folks who don't have access to vehicle, who live in places like Sun Prairie and Fitchburg, can now take the bus. They now have transportation that will get them to and from work. Whereas before, if you didn't have a car in Sun Prairie, and nobody can afford a cab every day from Sun Prairie to Madison, and that could be very costly. Now you could just get a bus pass and be able to go between different communities. So to me, that's a plus too. Melanie?
I was just gonna comment, you know, there was a regional transit agency established in the early part of the 2000. And when Scott Walker was elected governor, he did away with that agency. But the idea then, of course, was to develop regional transit, like you're speaking of Verona, Sunbury, so forth and so on. And so that agency got done away with. And so progress essentially stopped in that way. And so this is actually a huge move in the right direction.
All right. Anybody else before we move to the next agenda item? Okay, I'm not seeing any hands. So update on EOC vacancies. Do we still have vacancies? I thought we have one.
It's no longer a vacancy. We were waiting on the approval letters and they have been sent. So the two new commissioners have been approved. Byron, did you want to add anything?
No, thank you.
All right. So next item on the agenda is our community listening session, which looks like will be November 21st at Sandberg Elementary. Araceli, you want to say anything?
Byron and I had a conversation. He said that he was going to take it over to the document services to finish kind of just publicizing and finalizing everything. Other than that, I don't have much of an update except for once we get that completely figured out, you know, publicized, we need to immediately start moving. I'm inviting all the commissioners on this call. So please hold that spot in your calendars. Thank you.
Bob.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. The listening session is already on my calendar. Thank you, Araceli. But I want to know whether we're going to be able to do an in-person meeting exclusively at Sandberg Elementary, or whether we're going to try to do a combined virtual.
I don't think they have capacity for combined. I don't think that it's not like the South Madison place. It's going to be in a gym. And so, yeah, we need to make sure that y'all are going to come for quorum and so forth. So that's why we're making arrangements today to,
Okay, and Araceli, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but what I forgot to mention is that this is at the same night that our commission meeting is scheduled.
Yes.
So, yeah, and I say this every time, but I strongly encourage commissioners to attend because these listening sessions are truly wonderful, and I always learn something new at every listening session. Thank you.
So just so folks remember, that date is November 21st. Normally we meet earlier in the month, but November 21st is that meeting. So make sure you have that on your calendar. And I, like Araceli, I don't think Sandberg has the capability of doing a hybrid. And so we will want folks to be in person for that meeting. So if you can put that on your calendar, that will be an in-person meeting.
Can you please provide the time again?
Typically our meeting starts at 5. So typically what we have done in the past is we do our meeting portion first, and then we open it up to a closed session. And that usually will start, is that about 6 o'clock, Araceli?
Correct.
Necessarily a closed session, but we go out of our meeting and then open up the listening session.
Exactly.
And that's usually about 6 o'clock.
Exactly. Angela, please take note because that is kind of, we want to just follow what we've done previously.
Thank you.
And have that reflected. Exactly.
And just that's like exactly how we did what you have in the flyers.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. I got you.
Okay, good. And I am looking for a volunteer. So whoever would like to private message me afterwards and just as a volunteer to help out, you know, maybe bring some refreshments, something to drink, or just even as a volunteer to like help spread the word, you know, post it on your social media, etc. So thanks.
And
I should say the reason why is like Linda's not going to be able to come.
Okay.
And she's part of my committee. Okay. Bye.
Bob?
Yeah, I just lowered my hand. Sorry.
Okay. Anybody else before we move on? All right. Are there, we do have some future topics we like to talk about and future dates, which is budget implementation and a referendum.
Yes, Chair. Norm Davis, our director, was wanting to come to this meeting to discuss that, but he is not available and would like to attend the next executive committee meeting, if that's okay with the committee.
That is fine with me. I think our committee wants to hear about the budget.
And the second one is the Community Development Association. Larry, we also was interested in having him come to talk about some of the housing issues. He was also unavailable for this meeting and would like to know from you all, would you want him to be at an executive committee or the full EOC meeting to talk about some of the housing issues and concerns from the Community Development Agency perspective?
I'd like to see him at the full meeting. I think that would give all of us the same information, access to same information. And then as a committee, we could figure out what, if anything, we wanted to do with
and
that.
And then which meeting?
Not if he can come to the next one, that would be great.
November.
Well, not November. Can we say December. The next one after November? Because we want to go on, we only have an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to go into the listening sessions at 6 because we don't want to keep our community folks waiting.
December meeting for Larry,
yeah.
Norm Davis for the budget, the yeah. November executive meeting.
Yep.
All right. Thank you.
Bob,
anything to add, Byron? Okay.
Oh, I wanted to mention something about the budget. Two things. The mayor's office has provided a very comprehensive report on budget. Referendum implications as to what happens if the city passes the referendum and what happens if it does not. And I'd like to ask everybody to pay attention to what happens in the future, because in the next year's budget, we have very well-defined issues. But I think that the referendum is an issue that carries on, not just for the following year, but for the next 5 years. So just take a look at the budget, the mayor's white paper on the budget. And the other thing is that the Wisconsin Policy Institute has come up with a review of the referendum situation. And I just started reading that today, and it is a less biased report than what the mayor provides, but is not very much different. So I recommend that everybody take a look at that and talk to their friends, also to educate themselves to about the issues surrounding the referendum. Thank you.
Thanks, Bob. Anything else? So this last item on the agenda, I'm gonna switch to my phone because I have to get in my car. I should have been in my car a while back, but Brian is going to lead this last session. I'm gonna switch to my phone and I'll be on driving as I'm listening. So go ahead.
Thanks, Chair. Drive safely.
I will.
All right. We don't have Alders present, so we're on to agenda item number 11, the EOD manager report. And many of you probably saw that Byron had sent that out earlier. So I hope that folks had a chance to take a look at that. Otherwise, Byron, did you want to jump in?
Yeah, sure. Thank you. Appreciate that, Brian. so a few things to highlight. So as you all know, we had been in discussion with the city of Sun Prairie to be contracted by their municipality to help them with discrimination investigations and mediations in their community. We are still in conversation in order to do that. They're willing to, you know, to pay us for this supported work, but because we need to focus on some attention on getting our own house in order first, which is what we're putting a priority on that right now, we don't have a potential starting date as we were thinking. So I'm going to be reaching out to them and talking to them. Our intent is to hopefully still bring that relationship together by sometime later this fall. But because I think we're getting close to where the house is starting to get in order, but we're just not quite there yet. And I don't want people to be uncomfortable. I don't want our own residents in the city to be uncomfortable or be questioning some of the things that we're doing there. Zach?
Just a question in terms of that agreement.
Yeah.
Wanted to see what your thoughts were. I'm assuming that it's been a while since I looked at Sun Prairie's equal opportunity ordinance, but I'm guessing that it is not as robust as ours. And wondering for ease of our folks, and maybe to spread our message further, should part of that agreement be that they mirror our ordinance?
They have actually done that. Their ordinance mirrors exactly ours. They stole it almost word for word. They did that when they got it approved by their council as well. So theirs looks exactly like ours, and they are a community. Some praise. I'm really proud of them. They're a community that, but they have reached out to us more than once on adding things to their ordinance and getting help and guidance from our folks in EOD, from Ford and some of the other staff, helping them with the language and putting things together to expand their own protections in their community. So they're one community that I know. There's others that have reached out to us, but I know for sure, particularly in this particular ordinance and the building code complainant, they've mirrored it almost word for word. So I hope to be having a discussion with them. I hope next week about where I am and what the plan is, and come back with you all so you all can know really what I'm thinking and what the plan is. And then when it's time to help get everybody to understand that, yeah, we're ready to go. This is a good thing. These funds that can be generated from other municipalities is very similar to our EEOC federal contract, and they generate dollars for our own Madison community residents. And as you know, the day is coming where I probably can't be going to the city and asking for additional staff and support and stuff. I've got to start to figure out how to be creative and generate dollars in my own way to start to keep up with the growth and the expansion of this work. So the increases of cases, our output right now is not matching the growth of the input that's coming in. We are still growing with cases. I'm not complaining about that because we have worked really hard in making our residents and our community aware that they can file complaints and use us as a resource, that us and the commission are here for the community. But as a result of that, you know, when you're consistently reaching 2,000 to 3,000 people a year in your education, your outreach, and your training, you're going to see some results of that outreach where people are going to realize that they can actually access you. And that's exactly what's been happening. And so we have tried to other ways to use overtime, comp time for the investigators to try to get them to help with some relief. We were at 98 cases that we had that were in our holding queue in our abeyance. We're now down to 78. My plan is to get somewhere between 50 and 60. If I can get that number and get our cases down to that number, I believe we will be in a new cycle where I can start generating cases out in about 60 days, which I think that might be the new world for us. So working on that, still dropping that number, trying to find out what we got to do to get there. Staff are on overtime right now, still working on that. And as a result, we have also suspended all education, outreach, and training at the moment so we can focus fully on just doing cases and casework and getting those numbers down and getting them turned back over again faster. And I'll talk about that in a little bit more. So far as we received 15 cases to date from the federal government. These are cases that that bypassed the city and the state and gone right to the federal government on employment cases where people just filed directly with the feds. The new agreement with the feds is that if that happens, we seem to be in an understanding. I think you all remember from earlier this year when we were talking about making that happen. That has now happened. The federal government is now sending those cases back to us because it makes sense to have the lowest level jurisdiction process the cases that are being submitted. So we thought we would see maybe somewhere between 8 to 10 cases, but we've gotten 15 so far already this year. So so that's an increase of some caseload for us too. But the cool thing about that is those are contracted cases as well. So we are compensated for that work and that growth, which is kind of cool. Housing discrimination cases have continued to go up. We are seeing a consistent flow of cases that are coming in. They have not gone down or slowed down at all. It used to be a cyclical thing that we'd see with housing cases, and now it's still being very consistent, and it's been that way now for a couple of years. I've talked to the state of Wisconsin. They have informed me that they're not seeing a high demand in housing cases anymore, and they believe it's because of the city's new building code complainant. The state head believes that we have the most robust housing protection than anybody probably in the country right now. And so because it's the most robust in the state, the word is out and everybody is filing with us. So again, congrats to us. But we're seeing that the results of that. Also, in addition to that, I took a look at some of our cases that are needing some bilingual support. Those have increased. I looked at 2022, we only received 5 cases that needed bilingual support. But in 2023, we went from 5 to 22. And then in 2024, we've already had 11 cases already. Now, why I let you all know this is because typically these cases require a little extra customer service. We spend a little bit more time reviewing these documents internally by the investigators that are assigned. And if we have to use the translation services, then those a lot of times we have to wait a long time for those services to come back and be translated before we can start, you know, processing the case. And that then causes further delays, makes things go a little bit slower. And then there's also a fiscal requirement for all external translation services that we have to pay for to cover. So just letting you all know that those are some things that I'm looking at managing and trying to figure out and watching those things as well. But 22 cases in 2023, and if we get close to that number again for the end of this year, that's half annual caseload of one investigator. So just spending time doing those kinds of cases. So just wanted to share that with you. If we're fully staffed with 4 trained investigators, as I told you, the hope then is to get these cases down to around 50 or 60 cases that are in a holding queue when they come in. And then I think I can probably turn them out and turn them over in about 60 days when that comes through. But I would need to make sure that we had 4 fully trained investigators and a full staff to do that in order to realize that. As far as... you saw the information on the annual report. So I sent that out a few weeks ago. So I hope you all liked how that looked. I got some good comments and feedback from you all. That did go to the mayor and all Common Council members. So they did receive that report as well. The citywide mediation program that we were looking to create, we're hoping that that is going to have a chance to start in 2025. In order for that to occur, we have to recruit in conjunction with the support of Madison College, a intern that can work with us all year long, part-time, so at around 20%. So we're in conversations working with them to see how we can make that work. We think we're getting pretty close in an opportunity to create that to happen. In addition to some of the staffing issues, as you all know, based upon the budget, to give you an update on that as far as Ford's role in his position, basically to put it like this, if the referendum passes, Ford's position will have no changes. If the referendum does not pass, then Ford has been is being discussed to go to 60% is what the mayor put in her budget. So there's still some opportunities to obviously to have discussion on that too as well, but that's what the document that Bob was talking about. It did share that and put that in that document, and that's what's there. The interesting thing about that is you know, I'm grateful that at least we're not losing him completely. No matter what, he's still going to be with us. Just because today was a prime example of how he gave, as a content expert, some historical knowledge of something that we didn't have, nor did the city attorney have on something that took place that he actually remembered on. And I think that's those are the kinds of things that people don't think about sometimes. When we talk about how people's roles and positions are affected. And so I just want to put that out there for us to think about as well. Some community input. We already talked about the next listening session, which is great. I also want to note that the immigration fair is on Saturday, October 26th at Centro Hispano. And it's from 10 a.m. until 4. I encourage you all to go there. Should have some staff there from the Department of Civil Rights supporting that event. Also, the League of Wisconsin Municipalities, they're having their conference October 23rd through the 25th, and that's at the Madison Marriott West. I actually plan on attending that because this is how we share other municipalities, the great work that EOD and EOC are doing combined in supporting other municipalities and hearing from other municipalities about the discrimination stuff that's taking place statewide. So I plan on being there. And then the Hmong New Year, which is November 4th and 5th at the Lion Energy Center on those days. If you've all never had a chance to attend that, I'm encouraging you to go. It's an amazing event to go. So it's just fabulous. You get to learn a lot about community culture, and it's a good opportunity to go to. So I'm going to encourage you to go. We will probably be there supporting, I hope, in that as we have each year. As I mentioned before, the last thing I'll mention is that to date, we have reached 2,128 people in our community already through our education outreach and training. That number hasn't ended, so it will increase, but the goal was to reach 2,500 people a year for 2024. I think we're gonna reach that goal or be pretty dang close to it. But because we are so close and we are where we are, we made a decision to, through the end of 2024 and maybe through the first part of 2025, suspend all of the education outreach and training so we can focus 100% on these cases that are being held in abeyance and getting things back in order. The plan is to, as requests for trainings do come in, we will reevaluate all those requests based upon the community impact and the need. And to see if we can do it, we have the capacity to do it. So I don't want to say no, but sometimes I might have to, or just might have to be me to go do it. So, which I'm willing to do. And you all know that. So that's it for me. It was a lot to share. Any questions? Melanie?
Yes, I have a question. Are any of our investigators bilingual?
Yes, looks like two of them. But only one of them is has gone through the certification process to be hired as the bilingual investigator. So we have one that's actually designated at recruitment as the bilingual investigator, but we have another investigator that actually is bilingual but doesn't have that specific designation.
And also a bilingual intake person.
Yes. Yeah, we have a person at intake that also is bilingual that helps as well.
Are there any other questions for Byron? I'm looking through the little boxes. I'm not seeing any questions. Thank you, Byron. Appreciate it. So we're at that great part of the agenda where I would be looking for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Moved by Melanie. Do I have a second? You all just want to hang out all night? Okay. Who was that second?
That's Dina. I second the...
Oh, thank you, Dina. So moved by Melanie, seconded by Dina. If I'm not seeing any opposition, I'll call this meeting over. I'm not seeing any. Have a good night, everybody.
You too. Thanks.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you, Brian.
Good night.
Take care.
Night.